How do you think being on the streets at Christmas?
Shit.
Yeah.
Sorry for the language.
That's fine.
It's supposed to be a time of goodwill, good cheer, and people coming together. Can I tell you one thing? Right? Yeah. So you want it to 10 people? I'm good. Yeah. So that's goodness right there.
I can't even believe you're here, mate. We've got Stuart Nealis. Stuart was featured heavily in my documentary, and if I'm honest, you were out your bin for a good while, Stuart. Stuart has been homeless for years, drinking drugs, but we fast forward 9 months and the results are remarkable. What you've done, what you've achieved, mate, for such a short period of time, mate, I take my hat off to you, and I've got to shake your horn, mate, because it's good to see you. And I think for the first time, mate, we'll no need subtitles. So how you been, mate?
Well, I've been good. You know what I mean? It's good to remember you.
And it's good that we can laugh about it, mate, because it was nae laughing, like I say, it's nae laughing matter 9 months ago when you were in the homeless documentary, because, like I say, you didn't know what day it was, you probably didn't know what time it was, and did you even remember being in the documentary?
No, I didn't even know I was in the documentary till Julie McAdoo from Street Connect phoned us up 3 months after it. You know what I mean? And I was actually in rehab at the time. I was like, nah, you're at it. You know what I mean? And I'm like, if Julie's saying that she's a Christian, she must be telling the truth. And she was like, do you want to see it? And I'm like, ah, not really. I mean, so.
But for the results, let's go back to where it all started, Stuart, and where your life began and where we are now.
Well, I grew up in a place called Cumbernauld, you know what I mean? I grew up in a one-parent family, you know what I mean? So I had an older brother, you know what I mean? So it was like pretty much, you know what I mean? Life was hard for day one, you know what I mean? Since I was born, you know what I mean? I only had 24 hours to live, you know what I mean? So I grew up with my mum saying, you were a mistake, you know what I mean? You should have just died at birth and that. And that really hurt us and it affected us in ways that I didn't know, you know what I mean? Till later on in life, you know what I mean? So I was always like, I was always trying to fight for my mum's attention, you know what I mean, and my brother's, you know what I mean, and when she was giving me any trouble, man, I thought that was her way of showing me love and all that, so I grew up, you know what I mean, I was quite an angry kid, and like social workers would come in and out of my life, you know what I mean, they would stick labels on us and say he's this, he's hyperactive, he's got learning difficulties, he's got this, no, I was just an angry mixed up kid, you know what I mean, and flipping, trying to get a way out, you know what I mean, so a social worker would eventually say to us, I mean, why don't you try a sport, so I tried that Olympic wrestling. I was alright at it, you know what I mean, then I got injured, you know what I mean, and when I got injured, man, I was hanging about with all the rank out, just taking drugs, man, and somebody introduced it to the Valium, and Tramazepam were about at the time, you know what I mean, and it was like, I loved it, you know what I mean, everyone was going away raves, man, I was just taking jellies and flipping, doing my stuff and meeting up in polo stations.
Yeah. But that's what, do you think all the drugs then was escapism?
I don't know, I think it was a way of like self-medicating, you know what I mean, for the past ups and all that, and you know what I mean, for things that people would say is my life, you know what I mean, when I was younger, you know what I mean, no, and it's like, I was just trying to escape, you know what I mean, for the pain, you know what I mean, and myself, you know what I mean, I didn't have a future, I didn't think, you know what I mean.
I mean, you think that, then that's what we eventually get, is that where, when did you start sleeping on the streets? What age?
Well, what happened was, you know what I mean, it's like, things start to progress from one thing to another, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? So, I think now in the lines, you know what I mean? Alcohol played a big part, you know what I mean? So, I happened to fall in a relationship with a girl, you know what I mean? And I'm like, this could be the answer, you know what I mean? To everything. But little did I know, man, later on it would be my downfall, you know what I mean? And she's flipping murder, you know what I mean? And I had two kids with her who could take any care because of addiction issues, you know what I mean? I've realised. Well, we beat each other for 21 years, but it was a two-way violent, you know what I mean, relationship, man. You know what I mean? It wasn't very good, you know what I mean? And so, push come to the shove, you know what I mean? She would kick us out, man, and I would have nowhere to go. None of my pals just put us up, my mom, my family, you know, when they take us, you know what I mean, because of addiction, you know what I mean? And the only place I had, man, was to come, you know what I mean, in Glasgow. And sometimes it was the only place where I felt I was really accepted, if that makes any sense.
Of course, and obviously I only slept in the street for 7 years, 7 days. There you go, try to burn myself up there, but I was only there for 7 days, but I know for that 7 days how disconnected I was, how lonely I was, and how you feel as if nobody cares, so it's easy to, when you're getting offered drugs, whatever, every 20 minutes, it's easy to take them, because I know people that's got a great life and it's got plenty of money that are full of drugs as well, so it's easy to slip into their bad habits. So when you were on the streets, do you think it was easier to take drugs, to hide for the pain and hide that you thought your life could go nowhere?
I do think it's easier, know what I mean, to escape from everything, know what I mean, just taking drugs and alcohol and whatever else and getting yourself into a state where it is on your documentary, not to remember anything, just to blank out for everything, know what I mean, for everyone, for society, know what I mean, hang me, when you're out in the streets, eventually, know what I mean, drugs and alcohol and all that, only thing that you think about, you don't even think about anything else, man, it's the first thing you think about when you wake up and the last thing you think about before you go to sleep.
Mm-hmm. A lot of the stuff that I've been posting about homelessness is people getting abused, whether it's mentally, physically. There was some wee guy in a tent last week who got his tent set on fire and nearly killed the poor boy. For me, that's by the biggest cowards in the world. What kind of abuse did you receive?
I've been assaulted, know what I mean? I've been kicked in the face, know what I mean? I get kicked in the face, know what I mean? I've got a metal plate in my eye because of it. Know what I mean? If people try to take advantage of somebody who's down in the luck, know what I mean? And they look down upon people, know what I mean? Instead of like, trying to give them a hand up, know what I mean? And I've been spat at, know what I mean? And I've had things flung at us, know what I mean?
It's sickening to think that we all do bad shit in life and we all make mistakes, but to pick on somebody because they've not got a house is a different kind of wrong. Like when people were in my documentary, one of the girls was raped twice in a day, people were stabbed, peed on, shat on, set on fire. That's, like I say, that's, to even think about doing that to another human being is sickening. And these people should be punished severely, I think. When you were, like I say, when you, I'd seen you, I think it was Christmas Eve, you were at your nut. What kind of stuff were you taking that day?
Valium, lots of alcohol, heroin.
Mm-hmm. A mixture of cocktail or stuff. Can you remember me?
No. That's how you needed to put subtitles in.
But
what do you think I speak, man? I'm trying to pickpocket my pals and get Valium.
Gas. When the help eventually came, because we'd spoke, then I think I tried to speak to you when you eventually sobered up. I think the Valium were just wearing off a couple of days later. And you became clear, I think you understood that you did want to change and you wanted a better life for yourself, because everybody, I believe, has got greatness in them. Everybody can change, and you're living proof of that. You're a fine example that no matter what you go through, no matter what age you are, people can change. They can, and Stuart's is proof that you can. So when you eventually go to help in January, talk so people understand how you end up starting dating it.
Well, no, I mean, I had been to a Christian Murray Hub before, no, and whatever else, and I knew Ricky and Julie for Street Connect, no, I mean, and also had friends, no, I mean, for Salt and Light Ministry. And these two charities that have helped us, no, I mean, they've always been there for us, no, I mean, they've always stuck by us, no matter what, man, through all the addiction and all the crazy stuff, man, they're always there helping me to see what you were saying, no, I mean, but there's a better life for us, no, and whatever else, so. I had been in rehab before, and all that, and I knew it was the way to go. Take myself out of Glasgow, and I've heard you saying it, you know what I mean? Changing my mind, the way I think about myself, and all that. So I went away, man, and I really looked at myself, man, you know what I mean? And I changed the way I thought about myself, you know what I mean? And you know what I mean? Bringing the Bible into it, because it's my favourite book, you know what I mean? And it says, I mean, be transformed by the new in your mind. Mm-hmm. And I have been transformed by the way I think, the way I see other people, you know what I mean? And it's like that. Sometimes I think you need to be at true brokenness, you know what I mean, before you can put it back together, right, you know what I mean, so it's hard, you know what I mean.
This is all part of your journey, though, and everybody's been broken, whether they want to believe it or not. We've all been through hurt and pain, we've all been through struggle, but there must be a breaking point where you go, fuck me, enough's enough,
yeah.
I'm going to change, I'm going to better my life, and take the steps to eventually do it, and like I say, you're 9 months clean now, sober. How are you feeling?
Well, good. No, it's good, no, I mean, just to sit here and have a conversation.
I mean, it makes sense.
But people can understand it before I'm putting subtitles in.
I love it, mate. And that's the good thing about it, mate. We can laugh about it just because people maybe hang on to their past and they're scared, they're hurted, that hurted, sorry, it's hurt's not, hurted's not a word, hurt. You don't need to live in the past. You don't need to live there. It's done. It's about taking the steps for the now and then moving forward. What's your plans for the future?
Well, I have a heart for Glasgow, I have a heart for the homeless people, you know, and I'm able to make a difference, you know what I mean? So I'm doing a Christian run leadership course, you know what I mean? And we go out into the streets, you know what I mean, and lead some that, you know what I mean, twice a week, man, to help the homeless, you know what I mean? Just to, it's all right saying, you know what I mean, I've been homeless, so I should understand them. But it's how I approach them, you know what I mean? I don't want to be saying the wrong thing to them and giving them false hope, you know, right. That, whatever else, you know what I mean?
Because you've got to lead by example. You've got to practice what you preach as well, and I always say actions speak louder than words. A lot of people can read through books and think they understand it, but if you've lived it, you know how low you can feel, you know how lonely it is, and like I say, it's like a small community being homeless. You kind of know everybody. I knew everybody after 7 days.
Yeah.
I knew everybody. People used to speak to us, and you end up building a rapport. It's like a world within a world. It's mental. Obviously, Ricky and Julie became good pals with me through Street Connect, and they do massive things, and other charities I'm going to mention through City Mission, because I know you went to see them yesterday, and Daniel, who runs Second Chance Scotland, I've got Mel that helped the homeless. These charities are in the town every day, saving lives. If these people weren't there, there'd be dead bodies everywhere. And I say that nearly every time I speak about them, because they're the real heroes. They don't get the recognition that they deserve, because the things they do for people is unbelievable, and you're living proof of that. If you never had these people giving you clothes, giving you shelter or giving you food, you would be dead.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. What do you think needs to change, though, for homelessness to help drop the numbers down? Because the numbers are rising.
I noticed that the other day when I was walking through the senior centre along the City Mission, you know what I mean? I must have counted, you know what I mean, 15 people along that street, you know what I mean? And it's not that. It's the council and people's mindset towards homeless need to change a little bit, doesn't it? You know what I mean? They need to change the way they see people and all that and everything else, man. They need to be pulling together, you know what I mean, as one, you know what I mean? No dislike, you know what I mean? We want all the glory for helping them and all that and everything else, and they want to do it their way, you know what I mean? Even if they could all get together, man, and sit down and see what's best, you know what I mean? Get the homeless people involved. They don't really ask them what they want, you know what I mean? They say this is what's best for you, you know what I mean? And they think most of the answer is just giving them a house. It's not giving them a house, you know what I mean? It's getting that mindset changed in them, you know what I mean? And hanging, telling them there is a better future for them. Mm. Dealing with their drug issues, you know what I mean? Dealing with their mental health, you know what I mean? Dealing with simple things like how to budget and how to do things properly, you know what I mean?
It's not just a case of rehoming people, I believe that as well. There's people out there with two jobs that can't keep a house. There's people out there struggling themselves that are pulling in a wage. It's whether it's physical abuse, mental abuse, whatever kind it is, you've got to, if you rehome somebody that's got addiction problems, they're not going to keep it. And then if you're out in your ass again, you feel worthless again, that you can't cope with it. And so you've got to really work with the mindset and get them believing in yourself, working on the self-esteem, working on the confidence, like yourself, to become a stronger person. And then when problems come your way, you can handle them. It's not just a case of, right, I'm going to go and sleep in the streets because I'm away from it all. You handle that because we've got problems every day. Every day of our lives, we're going to have problems. But if you're sober and clean, for me, when I'm not drinking or taking drugs, any catastrophes that happen in my life, I'm going to lose people, family members. I can deal with that better. In the past, if somebody died, that was my excuse to go and get Father Charlie for a year. Do you know what I mean? And then every time it was our birthday or their anniversary, it was an excuse to go out for 2-3 days. I felt as if I had an excuse. Oh, I'm feeling sad. I created excuses. I always had excuses why I was partying, why I was gambling. Oh, it's my dad's anniversary. Oh, it's my pal's anniversary. He get murdered. He died. This and that. Always had an excuse to take drugs. Always had an excuse to party. But now, when you become clean and come sober, when these things happen, which are going to happen, it's life, you handle them better, you handle these situations better, you go, do you know what, fuck it, I deal with it, and then you move on, because it's easy to slip into bad habits, and when you're in these bad habits, it's very difficult to get out, it's no easy, you know that yourself, many times you've probably wanted to change your life, and you've slipped back, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like, you know what I mean, hang me, somebody explained it to this man, you know what I mean, society will give you a plaster and not a plaster for a bullet wound, you know what I mean? Eventually, you know what I mean? Like you're saying, you know what I mean? It'll eventually seep out because, you know what I mean, Jaime? Because they don't deal with the real issue, you know what I mean? Like, they fling methadone at it and they fling a prescription at it, you know what I mean?
You're numbing the pain.
Is that really dealing with, you know what I mean, the things behind the addiction, you know what I mean, all that hurt and all that pain, you know what I mean? I don't know, you know what I mean? Did they really do a good job at that, you know what I mean? Because I used to go and see a drug counsellor and I was literally in for 2 seconds and then out again, you know what I mean? Even they talk about, so why do you take drugs? You know what I mean? But like, do you take drugs? You know what I mean? Like you're talking about. Anyway, I use excuses, you know what I mean? Just to take drugs. Or because I'm feeling this, I'm feeling that. You know what I mean? This one It's like, it's easy enough to fall into that, then before you know it, know what I mean, you end up getting a habit again.
Aye, and then that's where going on the street, and it's scary to think that homeless people accept that abuse as well. They think it's normal to get bullied, to get kicked, to get punched, to get. And I've spoke to them and they just accept it. They don't tell anybody because they think nobody will listen, and they think because they've not got an address.
How can they report it? Know exactly. What I mean? Mm-hmm. Because most of the stuff where they're down in the street, man, is illegal. And the police, know what I mean? The police as well, know what I mean? I wouldn't go as far as say, but they're a bit. They don't bully people, but they're hard work, they move you on. I mean, you're trying to make money or you're trying to find somewhere to sleep.
Try
to
survive.
Or when you leave your sleeping bag somewhere, a council member comes along and moves your sleeping bag and puts it in a bin, then you need to start lawyering again.
Because I know some places put spikes in outdoorways so nobody can lie down. This is the society we're in. It's scary to think that even park benches now, they're putting wee things in the middle of them where nobody can rest or nobody can sleep.
You put 20 pence in, no, I mean, it takes the spikes down, you're allowed to sit there for a bit.
Aye, so, and there's places now that you're getting fined for sleeping in the streets. You're getting fined £100 for sleeping in the streets, they're taking your stuff off you, and then, how's that possible? You can't pay £100, so obviously then you've got a warning, but some people actually prefer the jail. Some homeless people actually prefer the jail. You're getting 3 meals a day, so they're committing crimes. I know it's a stupid way to think, but when you're wanting to just keep it the cold and you're wanting fed, then it's easy.
It happens every year at this time. See, this time of the year, know what I mean? Probably then the number of people will get the jail for silly crimes, know what I mean? Take it over the Christmas period, know what I mean? And hang me. It's like, I know people, know what I mean, who have committed breach of the peace, know what I mean? So they'll get four or five months for a breach of the peace, 6 months, man, that'll get them there Christmas.
I know.
And then they'll come back out in January and start all over again. Mm-hmm.
How many people have you lost, pals, that you've been on the streets with?
Pals, know what I mean? I've lost a few, know what I mean? I've lost a guy called Doc and that, know what I mean, who used to sleep down at Central Station, know what I mean? But that guy didn't want to help himself. He just accepted that he was on the street. Know what I mean? And I know people, I know some older people, know that whatever else have been out in the streets for years, man. Know what I mean? Like Peter, that you were talking to under the bridge and whatever else, man. He's just accepted it. Know what I mean? And the council are trying to help him a numerous amount of times, and they keep putting him into places, and he keeps walking away from it. Know what I mean? Because he can't break that cycle of living in the streets, know what I mean? Where he feels safer, he feels accepted, and all that. I've had issues, know what I mean? Mm. I mean, when I was in your documentary at Christmas, know what I mean? I had a house, but I couldn't go back because of addiction issues and flipping, hang me, alcoholism and all that, and own drug money. Mm-hmm. Know what I mean? I couldn't break that cycle, know what I mean? Hang me, and plus, I felt more accepted in the streets. Mm-hmm. Know what I mean? With my people who understood me. Mm-hmm. Know what I mean? My brother, I love my brother and all that, my brother, but he doesn't understand the issues mm-hmm. behind addiction and all that.
How do they treat it? How do they look at that problem? Do they just think you're in control, but it's hard to break the cycle, as you say it. When I was doing my gambling, people couldn't understand it. You're throwing away money, but they don't realise it's the mindset, it's the dopamine you receive. It's like if you're feeling low, if you're taking smack or coke, you're releasing that dopamine when you're feeling good about yourself. So it's, people don't realise it stems from all the rooted problems, whether it's abuse mentally, physically. People need to hide from that. We've got so many rooted problems, and some people who've never been through that journey don't understand it. So instead, you've got to help yourself as well, Stuart. You know that we can't push help upon anybody. But when your family members, did they used to look down at you? How did they feel? They must have felt sad as well to see you on the streets.
Well, they knew I'd been on the streets, no, not my real man. They knew I had addiction issues, no, not my real man. But they're well dealing with it, saying, just don't turn up. You know you're more than welcome to come to my house, but just don't come when you've had a drink and you're under the influence of drugs, no, not. No, I mean, that's their way of dealing with it. I mean, you can come when you're sober. I mean, we'll help you out the best we can, know that. We'll give you somewhere to stay. Mm-hmm. But addiction, know what I mean? One of the hardest things to break.
Especially if you've not got one. Many did you have? Many? Was it every?
Well, I was addicted to Valium, heroin, and drink.
Many Valium a day?
Well, I was taking probably between 30 and 40 Valium. But that time at Christmas, man, you know what Christmas is like, man. You just want to escape because you know the next day is Christmas. Know what I mean? And hang me, man. Looking back, man, I was invited to my brother's for Christmas Day dinner. I ended up in a soup kitchen. Know what I mean? Looking back on it, man, I'm like, ah, what am I doing?
Have you ever contemplated suicide?
I used to self-harm, know what I mean, because of addiction and all that, and I tried to take suicides, know what I mean? But, know what I mean, that's all down part of it, innit? Know what I mean? All comes along with addiction and flipping, know what I mean, living in the streets, know what I mean, and being hot, know what I mean, and hang me. I used to go to a psychiatrist, you know what I mean? I met a psychiatrist once, and she says, you've got a personality. I said, I didn't even know I had a personality. You know what I mean? She's like, you're quite intelligent. And I'm like, is that something else I can get DLA for? she ended up searching me for some materials. I was like, result.
Fuck's sake. But that's what I'm saying. That's why one of the reasons we did the documentary at Christmas, because it is a time of family and love and joy. When you're waking up on Christmas Eve, it's easy to just want to go and get mad about a range of life because you feel nobody cares. Especially sitting in that town, when you're seeing families walking by, everybody holding hands, enjoying themselves, going to buy presents, that was the worst feeling for me was seeing that as well. As much as the stories broke my heart, when you're seeing other people happy and living life, but yet they walk by so many people that are homeless and scared and crying. Everybody, like I say, I built up a rapport with all yous. I built up the trust where yous would open up. Obviously, know yourself, because you were, aye, he's a kite, but the man's, when you were sober that day when you were in that tent, mate, I didn't even know that was you because it was night and day. Yeah. Stuart was in a blow up tent. I was like, a spray tan tent? I was like, a pop up tent?
And it's like a porter tent.
Aye. That was probably when you were at your soberest. I think that was Boxing Day. Yeah, it must have been coming out of your system. But when you break it all down, it is.
It's not, sometimes, you know what I mean, when you're sitting on the streets and all that, it's not just, you know what I mean, hang me, sitting begging to get money, man, but you want, you know what I mean, you just want somebody to sit down like yourself, or somebody like Free Street Connect or Glasgow City Mission or Salt and Light, man, sit down and talk to you, acknowledge you about your argument, you know what I mean, and, aye, look, there's a better thing, you can do this, mm-hmm. There's something better, you know what I mean, you're more worth than this.
Because mm-hmm. Now we're filming in the Salvation Army. And Scott, Boy Scott, who runs it, was telling us about the guy who started it in 1860, or 1860, the guy who started the Salvation Army, was that a rebel? Kinda. He kinda went into pubs and took everybody to the pubs and wanted to get them off drugs. And this is where it all started for, and now it's in 130 countries. This was in the 1860s, when everything was full of drink. And again, that's what we're taught about. Nothing's really changed. It's went back to Victorian times, because homelessness is on the rise, more people are taking drink, more people are taking drugs, more people are suicidal. Nothing's changed. And this is a guy who tried to change it in the 1860s. But to think about that and try and make the changes then, that guy must have been so ahead of his time to create all that awareness. And he was taking people out of pubs, but then when they were having, he used to put them in a tent. People are homeless and that, hookers, prostitutes, put them in a tent, but then people from the pubs were setting fire to the tent trying to kill them. Again, nothing's changed. People are still trying to do that with homeless people. This is a guy who's just trying to make change. What's this guy's name?
William Booth.
William Booth. I just heard the story today. For anybody, look it up. It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah, but I just done a study in his book, you know what I mean? Soap, Soot and Salvation, you know what I mean? He was a radical guy who had a vision, you know what I mean? To go out and help people, man, to equip them, man, give them better tools to a better life, you know what I mean? To educate them, take them out, man, give them the tools, man, to live a successful life instead of, like, just staying in pubs drinking and all that, and everything else, you know what I mean? And it's not that. I have the tools, you know what I mean, at my disposal for a better life. I'm doing this Leadership Academy, man, doors are opening up and all that, and everything else. I came here today, man, and we've got a holiday.
We spoke to the woman, me, Stuart, Gordon. They're going to Cambodia next year, and they want us to Gordon to document it, and they want, obviously, me and Stuart to tell our story. Stuart, lying in the street 9 months ago to go to Cambodia and speak to kids and build schools, and this shows you the opportunities that everything we even meeting you at Christmas, coming up with the idea with Gordon, putting that together, effect. And now we're sitting here and it's having that ripple effect to create awareness. Sometimes we don't realise actually what we are doing until you sit back and go, wait a minute, this is unbelievable. Before you know it, mate, who would have thought would have been in a documentary again, but this time.
It's like something you said to me when I spoke to you on the phone, you know what I mean? He's like, sure, you can be a light in this and see if I can change one person's mind, you know what I mean? About how they look at homelessness and all that and everything else, man. That's enough for me, ain't it? You know what I mean? Ain't it? To get somebody off the street, you know what I mean? You know what I mean?
But you're doing that, and I think Glasgow's becoming a shift for the change. We're creating massive changes. The documentary's been massive. It's created massive awareness, but it doesn't stop there for us. We've got to create. I was in a town last night giving out bags and wee survival kits, but it's not enough for me. I want to create mass changes. I want to create major, major changes and be at the forefront to create these changes, and I believe it's happening. It takes time. Like I say, this 12-week system that I'm still trying to come up with, there's so much red tape around it. I met a guy with the council last week. There's so much blockers and so much shit around it because health and safety, funding, nobody's want to back it. They say there's already stuff getting done, but it's no, because the numbers are rising. The people who are doing the major jobs for me is the ones who, your street connects and the people who are in, doing the groundwork, they're doing the groundwork day in, day out. Do you know what I mean? It's, there can be, there's too many chiefs, not enough Indians, do you know what I mean? There's too many people trying to call shots, there's too many people, but everybody's all over the place. I think everybody needs to get together to come up with a better solution. Canada are even by the forefront. I think it's, is it Norway or Finland who've drove numbers down? I don't think there is much homeless people in, I think it's Norway or Iceland, and because of this new system that they have.
They've tried everything the way they've tried it, you know what I mean? Like I said earlier, you know what I mean? Hang me, they all get together, you know what I mean? Hang me, put your head together, whatever else, and come up with a new idea. Mm-hmm. Like you're saying, you know what I mean? Trying to get this 12-week program where you take people away, you change your mindset, you give them a bit of belief, you put hope into them, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Tell them there's a better future, deal with addiction issues and all that, and then bring them back, mm-hmm. then support them through housing. Mm-hmm. I know there's support through housing, but it's hard to explain, you know what I mean? Sometimes you feel lonely, even though you're in a house, you know what I mean? But also you feel lonely when you're in the streets and you've got people about you.
You'd rather have a wand before your head.
It's like, you know what I mean? Because, like, you know, there's certain groups within the street, you know, and whatever else, so people will take drugs and whatever else, and there's these ones and whatever else. I shouldn't be going there and I shouldn't be going here. I mean, sometimes you don't even feel safe mixing with the people, mm-hmm. the homeless.
Because it's survival mode, isn't it? You're trying to survive, you're trying to get as much money as you can to survive, whether it's to get your fix or whatever. It's still a human being. It's still somebody that's disconnected. And I say it all the time, but it is somebody's mad, or even our best pals on that street. And we can't forget that. Just 2 minutes of your time, you don't need to give money, and you can't speak to everybody. If you speak to everybody, you'd never get home. Do you know what I mean? Even speak to one person, build up a rapport, learn what the charities are, learn where you can point them in the right direction, because a lot of people begging in the streets, you know yourself, Stuart, that I'm the homeless. Yeah, yeah. Do you know what I mean? For the ones that have accepted the abuse and are staying in the streets, that's where we've got to start first and do the groundwork to crying, to better their life. But it's no easy. It's not going to be easy. We might not see the massive changes in our lifetime, but if we can plant the seeds and generate enough help, then it can pass down for generation to generation to create the help. See when you came off with drugs, how hard was that? And when did you come off them, January?
Start of January. Well, I moved in with Annie and Martin, you know what I mean, right. Who run the Salt and Light Ministry.
And what's the Salt and Light Ministry?
Well, Annie started a charity many years ago, you know what I mean, to help the prostitutes and the homeless in Glasgow, you know what I mean? She used to take a bus round like the hostels in Glasgow, like round Hope House, round like the Belgrove, you know what I mean, whatever else, and give out sandwiches and all that. She's got a lot of people just, you know what I mean, building up a rapport with them, like you say, you know what I mean, just flipping, helping them, supporting them and all that, and whatever else, and she's done it for a numerous amount of years, you know what I mean, and she ended up getting an MBE for it, you know what I mean, so anyway, she took us in for 12 days, you know what I mean? It was hard, you know what I mean? I had to more or less call Turkey. But at the end of the day, I was willing to put that in, you know what I mean? Because I knew there was something better at the end of it.
Was that
mean?
The first time you went cold Turkey with foot method?
I'd been cold Turkey before, you know what I mean? But it's hard to explain, man. That relapse there, you know what I mean? Was darker than any. See, if you put all my years of addiction and homelessness together and all that, whatever else, man, you put that into that one episode, you know what I mean? Round about flipping. Round about that time last year, you know what I mean? It was the darkest place I was in. I didn't even know how I was going to get out of it. No, I still don't. Sometimes I wake up and I'm like, wow. You know what I mean? I look back and I'm like, how did I manage to get out of that?
Hats off to you for changing. Why was that the darkest place for you at that time?
I don't know, man. I think it was because of the amount and how quick, man. You know what I mean? How you can relapse, you know what I mean? After being clean for so long, you know what I mean? And how much and how hard, the amount of drugs that I took, you know that, man. You know what I mean? It's like, maybe 40, 50 of the volume a day, you know what I mean? Drinking litres of Buckfast, cider, cans of Super Lager, you know what I mean? Smoking bags of Bond bags, you know what I mean? A heroin, you know what I mean? In and out these 20 pence toilets.
I know. Do you count your blessings, though, that you've come through it, Stuart?
Aye. I know I've got a better future, you know, I'm a real man, but I'm 41 now, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I can change, you know what I mean? I have changed.
You have changed?
I mean, yeah, I have changed, you know what I mean? And anyway, I know I can come back and make a difference in other people's lives, you know what I mean? The time that I've got just now and the time I've got until I come back to Glasgow and whatever else I'm going to use wisely, you know what I mean? So I can help people, you know what I mean?
And you're doing it, you're on the right path. See, when you were going through it on as well, obviously, you've been a kid, you've got two.
two and then to care, they were taken, and adopted and that, so I don't have really much contact with them and that,
but that would have played a big effect on your mindset as well, eh?
But
like I say, the things you're doing now, people can change and people can eventually go, do you know what, you had your problems, your mindset was fucked, let's face it, so was everybody's has been, but you're 41, it's never too late for anybody to change. You've come through it. You've come through the abuse, physically, mentally, whatever it is, drink addiction, drug addiction, sleeping in the streets, losing hussies, losing pals. And like I say, you're living proof that you can change. You're living proof that you can take the reins and take control of your life. And again, through what I've seen yet in December to we're in October is remarkable, mate. And I think I take my hat off to you, because like, when I seen you, mate, I'm going to be honest, I thought you were a goner. I thought you were fucked.
Yeah.
I thought you were, he'll no last long. And there's already been three people that's passed away in my documentary. Yeah. And you proved us wrong, which I'm glad. I'm glad, mate. We can sit here and laugh and joke. We speak on the phone and we laugh, we joke. And it's just because you've had problems, it doesn't mean you forget to fucking laugh. Laughter's the best medicine. Do you know what I mean? We can laugh, we can joke, and it makes you feel part of life again, doesn't it? Instead of sitting there in the dumps with the horn in the heads and thinking, God, I fucked up.
When I was homeless, man, I used to be able to tell my pals, man, fucking better trainers, man. I used to never used to look up, never looked anybody in the eye, you know, and tell my pals, better trainers, know what I mean? So it's good just to sit here normal, man, know what I mean, have a conversation, but he doesn't need to put subtitles to.
That's mad, mate. I know.
Instead of my heat. See when you sent me a clip of that documentary, you know what I mean? It looked like, I don't even know what I looked like, man. I showed somebody and I'm like, you know something? I'm dead in that. You know what I mean? I don't think I could ever go back to that. You know what I mean? If I ever go back to it, man, I might as well be on the phone to the, you know what I mean? The co-op saying, here, look. Put me a place.
But like I say, as scary as it sounds, you've done it, and your whole life's in front of you. The world's yours still.
Cambodia.
Who thought, mate, we've got to do a documentary in Cambodia after seeing you in the street? You're not for the full 7 days, mate, every time I've seen you. Yeah. But that just shows you the escapism and how deep you want to go in life and to hide for the pain.
No, I mean, this year as well, no, I mean, I'm coming back, Street Connect, no, I mean, I think I wrote Angela doing a sleep out, no, I mean, for the 19th to the 22nd, so I'm going to come back and do that, man, no, I mean, help out with the homeless over Christmas and that, the holidays, no, I mean.
Because you went to see City Mission yesterday as well, and went in to see them,
yeah.
What were they saying?
Oh, they were just happy for a bit of change and transform my life and whatever else. I just caught up with one of the support workers there, and just had a talk with him and talked to Linda and just, not I mean, just to encourage him as well, man. I mean, it helps him to see, not I mean, hear it, man. There's somebody we've helped, not I mean, all in the years and all that, and whatever else, man. It's a bit weird getting in there, not I mean, it's a bit weird getting in there and helping out, not I mean, when you're helping, instead of sitting at the other table, not I mean.
Waiting for your dinner.
Waiting for your dinner, not I mean.
But these people, again, they're saving lives. The Christmas dinners, I had two Christmas dinners. I put weight on in the documentary.
That's because you've only played tennis.
I was playing tennis yesterday. Stuart phones and says, where the fuck you didn't answer your phone? I says, I was away playing tennis. I'm not a snob, actually. It was just we went in and played tennis with my two pals. It's just, Stuart the boy, it's just for, like I say, everything you've came through, you're living proof that people can change their life, mate. And to be sitting here clean and sober 9 months later, to be helping people and homelessness, to be just speaking to the woman there who's what it takes to Cambodia to do a documentary, it's unbelievable. And for anybody that's in the struggle, I've been in the struggle, but I was always a gift of the gab. I was never that low. I could get a piece of anybody's door. I was a fucking widow, do you know what I mean? So if I was lost in money, I always had a bird to go to or whatever I could float about and fuck people's heads up to get, stay with them. I was never that low to hit the tune. You did. And like I say, when you say that was your lowest point there at Christmas and you thought you would never get out, you came with it. 9 months later, mate, you're helping homeless people. You're serving homeless people food now. You're changing your life and you're learning, you're growing. Whatever you're learning, it's working for you. And I take my hat off to you. And again, thanks to the Salvation Army for letting us use their premises today. And this is only the start for us, mate. And I'm proud of you. I'm genuinely proud of you. It's brilliant, man. And you should be proud of yourself. And this is only the start for us to kick on, mate, and really make a difference in people's lives. So, Stuarty boy, it's good to see you clean and sober. And I've nothing but respect for you, mate. And
well, all the best for the
future, mate. one pub.
Oi, cut that bit.
Nah, see you later. Thanks, Stuart the boy.